Amen. Praise the Lord for the special tonight. And prayer will change you. If you truly have faith and you are connected to God through salvation and you are communicating with God, communicating with God will change anyone. And when you know that that's what you're doing and taking time to communicate with God, spending time in His presence, it can't help but change us. And what a blessing. Revelation chapter 6, the very last book of the Bible. And we've gone through the entire Bible, giving you an outline on every book of the Bible, one message for each book of the Bible. Then when we got to the book of Revelation, after we gave you the outline, then we just spent some time in breaking it down and trying to give practical help from the book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation is one of the hardest books to understand. And it's not the first book that you need to go to as a believer to start trying to read to understand what's going to take place. Now, it's the most possibly the most intriguing book of the Bible because it reveals the things that shall be later on, the things that shall be hereafter, okay, the things that are coming, future events. And everyone likes to know what's going to happen in the future. That's something that you want to know so you can be prepared for it. I believe God has given to us the book of Revelation to prepare His children for what is to come. And we're going to be getting into a little bit of that tonight. But the book of Revelation is a very difficult book to read and to study and to understand. And so you have to get a good understanding of the entire Bible first. The first four books of the New Testament, the Gospels, the first thing that every believer needs to learn is the life of Christ. You can't be Christ-like unless you know what Christ was like. And so study the Gospels and then the New Testament, as well as then going back and being able to pick up Old Testament. You start looking at the history of Israel. That'll help you a lot. Then you get into the books of prophecy. Now, the books of prophecy it's very important to understand the books of prophecy because they actually give insight into the book of Revelation and to the prophecies of things that will take place. All prophecies leading up to the rapture have been fulfilled. And we're able to look back in history now and see how God has fulfilled all the prophecies leading up to the rapture of the church. If He's fulfilled everything leading up to that point, then that ought to give us confidence in knowing that He will fulfill the prophecies that will follow. Amen? The church. And so that's what the book of Revelation is. So once you have that understanding, that then you can study it on your own with a little bit more insight. Right now, as you come to church, as a pastor, I'm going to be preaching and be helping you to understand what you can understand about why we have the book of Revelation. Now, I'm not one to try to make it deeper than what it needs to be, more complicated than what I like to make things practical. I believe God's given us His Word so that we might know how to apply it. And I'm a very practical preacher. I'm not going to debate over certain things, not going to get into certain things. Some good men will differ on some of the interpretations of what is to take place later on. But God has written it down. All good men, men that believe the Bible, the Word of God, realize it's written down exactly the way God wanted it written down. And even giving us some leeway of personal understanding, if you will, or what you're going to accept as interpretation. But the Bible is written and given to us, preserved just as God wanted to preserve it. And we have it for us to understand our learning and to admonish us as well in the things of God. So, chapter 1 and verse 19 is the outline of the book of Revelation. The Apostle John, placed on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord met with him and gave him insight into writing the book of the Revelation. And verse 19 says, write the things which thou hast seen. Chapter 1. Okay. And the things which are. Chapters 2 and 3. What the things that are right now, church age. What he had experienced leading up to that. What he now experiences during the church age, the things that are. The seven churches. He writes to the seven churches. That breaks down the church age. We went through that. We've studied that. And then the last part is what we just began just a few lessons ago. Chapters 4 through 22 is the things which shall be hereafter. The things that shall be, so future things that God has revealed to us. And these will be from chapter 4. And because they are, it's a third part, the church now is gone. After he addresses the church and the messages to the churches in chapters 2 and 3, that's not addressed again. The next thing in chapter 4 reveals, he calls John up. There's an open door to heaven. That's the rapture. The rapture is a door of heaven opened. And he calls John up to this. Now, that's the same thing as he's going to call the believers up at the rapture, and there's going to be an open door to heaven. When that door opens, everything else, your eyes are going to be focused, and in a twinkling of an eye anyway, you don't have much time. Everything else is going to fade away. Everything else is unimportant. At that point, what's important is the kingdom of God. And what a blessing that's going to be as Jesus is calling up the church, which is his bride, during that rapture. We've studied that, the rapture, the door of heaven opened. Then chapter 5, we studied the last lesson as a book of judgment was revealed in heaven. And that book, and there was no one to open it. And then Jesus is revealed. Jesus was the only one worthy to open the book of judgment. The only one worthy because he was here. And he lived in this life. He lived as a man and committed no sin. And he knows what's taking place. He overcome death and hell. Resurrected from the grave after he paid man's penalty for sin. And this book had seven seals. Now, in chapter 6, what we're looking at tonight reveals a glimpse of the entire seven-year tribulation period. And the seven-year tribulation period is revealed and a glimpse of what is going to take place during this tribulation period. And there are seven seals. The first four seals are identified with the four horsemen and the different colors of horses. Now, there's a lot of types and there's a lot of symbols in the book of Revelation. And it's presented just the way God wanted it presented. So we're going to try to break that down to give you a better understanding of the four horsemen in the book of Revelation. So you're going to stand, if you would, in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. These seals are being revealed what they are, and it's contained in the book of judgment, but he's revealing the seals to us. And so chapter 6 and verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of a thunder, one of four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou, hurt not the oil and the wine. Verse 7. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. Again, he wants him to see. He's writing these things down. He's presenting these things. He says, I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You tonight. We thank You, Lord, that we can assemble ourselves together as Your church. And as we assemble ourselves together, we know that You're here in the midst with us, as You have promised. We have Your holy word before us. We know this is truth. And I pray tonight as we look into this book of Revelation, especially in this chapter 6 and these first 8 verses, I pray that You'd give us the insight that we have need of to be able to learn what we can learn individually and make the proper application. I pray that You would empower me and use me once again to preach Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The four horsemen. You find the four horses in this passage of Scripture, each one being a different color. Again, it's a glimpse into what is going to take place at the rapture, following the rapture of the church in the tribulation. What's going to take place on this earth? A white horse. Now, at first you think it's Christ that's sitting on that horse, that white horse. Because white is a symbol of purity. A bow is in his hand. A bow was a symbol, a weapon of war. And then he was given a crown, representing a position of king. So the very first thing that's going to take place that the Bible reveals to us in this tribulation period is there's going to reveal someone that's going to appear as pure. He's going to have a weapon of war. He's going to be given a position of king. Now, that's not Christ. Not at this time. This is a false Christ. Because Jesus, when He comes, will not have a bow. He'll speak. That's all it's going to take. He's not given a crown because He's always had a crown. There's never a time when Jesus was not God. There's never a time when He was not King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came to this earth and was made flesh, but at the same time, even in the womb, He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When He was that infant there in that in Bethlehem, He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When He lived His sinless life, He was King of Kings. When He went to the cross, He was truly the King of Kings. When He was buried, He was King of Kings. When He resurrected, He has never been given that position. He has always had that position. But at this time, there's going to be someone given a position as king. Revelation chapter 19, and we're just going to take a sneak preview into 19, because it helps us to see the difference of a false Christ and the true Christ. The true Christ, when He comes, look what it says in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. This is the coming of Christ in glory to set up His rule and reign on this earth, which will take place in the millennial reign of Christ. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Purity, yes. He that sat upon Him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations. Not with a bow. And shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now that's a sneak preview. We're not going to get into that right now. But do you see the comparison? So, the book of Revelation is revealing to us and for us to know what's going to take place on this earth during that time of the tribulations. The first thing that's going to happen in the tribulation time, there's going to be a white horse. A symbol of purity. That we'll have a weapon of war and that we'll be given a position. 2 Thessalonians. The Bible interprets Bible. The book of 2 Thessalonians, we have insight into what is going to take place at the rapture. Even in Paul's day, there were some first century believers, first generation, first century church. There were some that was wondering if the Lord was going to return in their day. Ever since the beginning, every generation of believers have looked for the Lord's return. That's the way it should be. He didn't come in any other past generations. He's coming in our generation. That's what we ought to believe. Because we're closer now than ever before. And He is coming. And so we find here that they were being deceived into thinking that the rapture had taken place. And they were left. Well, look what Paul writes to them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us." A letter that as from us, as if somebody wrote a letter saying this is one of the apostles' letter and this is what's true. That the day of Christ is at hand. The rapture's already taken place and we're in the day of Christ. We're in the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord begins with the rapture, takes all the way through into eternity. That's all has to do with the rapture begins that day. And he's saying, somebody believe it's already taken place. Well, he said, "Let no man deceive you," verse 3, "by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." A great apostasy, a falling away from Christ and Christianity. Not necessarily the word Christian, but true Christ-likeness. America's hanging on to a word Christian, but most that claim to be Christian are not holding on to the Word of God. So there's going to be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The man of sin, the son of perdition, which will be on this white horse, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. That's Israel, Jerusalem. Showing himself that he is God. "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that, you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." It's being prepared right now for this. "Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That's the Holy Spirit of God. God is still in control of what taking place on this planet Earth. But when he be taken out of the way, the Holy Spirit of God goes up with the church. Amen? This church age, this was the mystery of the Old Testament. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit like we do now in this church age. And so we find that this was the mystery of the Old Testament, this church age. Once this church age ends, it will end with the rapture of the church. The Holy Spirit of God will be taken up. He will not be here in convicting and bearing witness with the spirit of man, convicting and pricking hearts like he did during this church age. "And then shall the wicked be revealed, who the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Later on, that's what's going to happen, as we read that when Christ does come. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, we're getting a little bit of an insight into what is going to take place when the true rapture happens. Satan will come and deceive those into thinking that he is the Jews' Messiah. The Jews crucified the true Messiah some 2,000 years ago. And they still look for him to come. The Jewish doctrine is that the Messiah is still going to come, and he's going to set up a kingdom on this earth, which is Old Testament, which is they lost sight of. He'd already come, and they rejected him, and they crucified him. So now, as this rapture takes place, Satan will come and present himself as the Messiah, which will automatically take in all Jews, will automatically take in Israel. For Israel now will look to this Messiah to bring them the kingdom that they have been looking for. They will believe in this Messiah to bring them peace. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 8. I want us to look there. Jesus was revealing to the disciples about this time and what would take place. And as he sat upon the mountain, verse 3 of chapter 24, and as he, Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They'll deceive many by saying, I have his message. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilence, and earthquakes, in all divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrow." So he was warning them that there would come a false Christ. Before the tribulation then, because that's what ushers in this false Christ, the world will be at war against Israel. Now, how can the whole world focus so much on that one small geographical area? That in itself ought to help the non-believer to realize there's something to that. And there always has been. That geographical area has done more to influence the entire world. You're either for them or you're against them. I mean, right now, that's what's taking place. You're either for them or you're against them. And today, can I tell you, there are more against them. And what's sad, but even America is falling into that very same category. But it should not be surprising, because we know that some of this has to take place before the tribulation will begin. So, before the tribulation, because Israel is threatened, and then when the so-called false Messiah comes, they're going to look to him and they're going to accept him. And look for Him to bring them peace and save them from annihilation from the rest of the world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Again, we just read what God has given to us and breaking it down and trying to help you to see the reality of it, which will increase our faith and belief. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Now, look at verse 1 again. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled." Again, this church in Thessalonica was troubled thinking that the rapture had taken place. "That you soon be, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, so the day of the Lord is at hand." Look at verse 3 now. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That's what he's saying. It's going to be. It's going to have to happen. It's going to come. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? The first thing in the tribulation is this white horse. I believe that's what he's talking about here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Revealing to them that this man that's going to set himself up as God, going to rule from Jerusalem. How would the Jews invite anybody to come to rule from the temple if they did not believe this was the Messiah? And that's what they believe, that the Messiah is yet to come. And what takes place in the rapture is going to turn the world upside down and things, and then they're going to see our Messiah. But it's a false Christ. It's a false Messiah. He'll make a peace treaty with Israel. 1 Thessalonians. Go back there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." So before Christ comes, there's going to first be a sign of peace, and then destruction. And we're seeing this in the horses of Revelation chapter 6. So before the tribulation could take place, Israel had to return to her land and to be acknowledged as an independent state. May 14th, 1948, Israel was declared an independent state. Their land was returned to them. He couldn't have come before 1948 in this church age because prophecy was not have been fulfilled. Since 1948, Israel hath grown in strength. I believe there was something like 1.5 million in 1948, and today she goes over 8 million in Israel. The Jews returning, Israel growing, to where the rest of that region are afraid. And it was the United States that God used to reestablish her in her land. God has a purpose for the USA, not only in world evangelism, but also to place Israel back on the map. The USA had a critical part in that. God worked through the USA. And that's why America has always had a great, strong tie to Israel. And God used it to continue to strengthen Israel to the place where the whole world is going to fear Israel. In that region especially. And that's what the Bible focuses on more than anything else, is that region. And that region wants Israel destroyed. And if it wasn't for America, God used America and our great strength and power given to us by God, Israel would not no longer be an independent state. But God knew what He had planned. So the first thing we find in the tribulation is a white horse. As the world increases her hatred for Israel and the U.S.'s backing of Israel, you know what that is? A sure sign that the rapture is near. Yeah. Because the white horse is going to appear first, a false Christ. Go back to Revelation. There's a white horse. The first seal that he sees, the first thing that will take place on this earth after the rapture of the church is a white horse. And this is a false sense of peace and security for God's children, for Israel, the Jews. A false sense of security for the world. There will be a one world church. There will be a one world government. And it will be ruled from Jerusalem by this one setting himself up as God, the Messiah. Well, there's going to come a red horse. Verse 3 and 4, what's going to take place next? And a little view, preview of the tribulation period, there's going to be a red horse. Verse 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Sword is an instrument of war. We have more instruments of war today than ever before. We have more types of instruments of war that can kill more people than ever before. Nuclear warfare. I mean, it's just that's symbolic of a weapon of war. There's going to be war on earth. Right after he promised peace and Israel now has accepted him and given him the throne, and the world now has accepted him as being the Savior of the world, there's going to be war. Peace will be taken. You see, the Antichrist or Satan will not have the people of the world's best interest in mind. Satan never has had anyone's best interest in mind. He is as that roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is the father of all lies. There's no truth in him. He seeks to kill and to steal and destroy. That's who now the world is looking to during the tribulation. And they will kill one another. There's going to be no love. You don't realize how the presence of God today and the presence of the church and the presence of Christianity, the love of Christ impacts this world more than what we realize. When Christ and the Holy Spirit of God's taken and the church is taken, there's not going to be love. There's not going to be compassion on the weak and the sick and the elderly. It will be survival of the fittest on earth. No love, no compassion, no loyalty. Satan is not loyal. He's not trustworthy. No truth, no honesty. When he presents himself, this world will now see the power of the devil in getting man to turn against man. No peace. Bloodshed. That's what it's talking about. And they should kill one another. It was given unto him a great sword. Wow. And then there's a black horse. This is just a glimpse of what will take place. There's a black horse. How this is divided up, it doesn't really tell us exactly. We know that there is a 7-year tribulation that's given us. It's telling us there's going to be a division of 3.5 years. We're going to get into that as we study later on. But this is just a preview. It's a film clip, if you will, of what is going to take place during the 7 years. There's a black horse. Verse 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. A pair of balances. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine." Black horse represents famine. The balances represents a weight to be able to ration out a food supply. They tell me during the Great Depression there was rationing of food. Now the wealthy had theirs, that's the oil and the wine. They separate themselves. But for the common people, there's no love, no compassion. And there'll be food lines around the earth. There'll be rationing of food. Because mankind doesn't realize, but God's the one that blesses the ground to grow the fruit and the produce that it grows. Not the blessings of God. The earth will not bring forth plentifully. And what has been stored up will start diminishing. And first of all, the ones in power, the wealthy, they will get theirs. Which leaves just a small bit for the rest of the world to fight over. To ration out. That's the black horse. Verse 7 and 8, as we come to the end of this, there is a pale horse. These are the four horsemen of Revelation, if you've heard that term before. The four horsemen, the last that will take place will be a pale horse. Verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed him. As the people died, they will go directly to a place of hell. Because the church is gone, raptured up. Death and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts of the earth. Now, the pale horse, the color of death. If you've seen somebody getting ready to die, you can know what color horse this will be. Pale. 1/4 of the earth's population will die during this period of time. Death will be everywhere. A sword, they'll be killing one of another. Whoever's got the most powerful weapons, whoever's got the greater strength, it'll be survival of the fittest. If you have what I want and I'm able to take it, I'll take it. That's the kind of society this world will have. Hunger, there'll be those dying of starvation. Right now, there's some dying of starvation that probably more than what we would even want to acknowledge. But yet this will be worldwide. Death. disease is what it's talking about there. Can you imagine a fourth part of the population of earth at that time is going to die, and no one has compassion, no one has love, and there's going to be diseases coming from dead corpse, different things taken. You can just imagine the horribleness of this time on this earth. And beasts. Four ways people are going to die. A fourth of the earth will die by sword, by hunger, by disease, and through even the hungry beasts, hungry animals. I don't know, my wife might have a good argument there in saying, why are we putting all this money out to preserve these animals? Especially those that want to eat people. We give them sanctuaries. Could be a part of what's going to take place. Because that'll be a part of the death. The beast of the earth will kill humanity. Now, we look at this and we read this, and my doom and gloom. We're not going to be there. The Bible is revealing to you and I during this church age what will take place. If all the other prophecies have been fulfilled, what makes us even doubt the prophecy of the end times? It will take place. This is what's going to happen on this present earth. And so why would God reveal this to us? Matthew chapter 24, and we're done. Matthew chapter 24. Revelations is given to help us, the believer, know what is to come so that we might be ready. And that we might be able to influence as many people as we can to be ready. Not for the tribulation, but to avoid the tribulation. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not God's will that any should go into that tribulation. It's God's will that you get saved and are raptured up with the church. That's God's will. But He says those that will not be saved will spend their time on this earth, and this is what will happen to this present earth once the church is raptured. Tribulation. It is doom and gloom. But we won't even have any thought of that. God will take all that away, because at that time we'll be, as we study in chapter 4, the church will be reunited. We'll be reunited with Christ. And that's going to be a hallelujah time. That's going to be the supper of the Lamb. Amen. That's going to be all the great things. But He says, be mindful of what will take place. And so Matthew chapter 24, as Jesus was presenting much of what was going to take place, in verse 14 He says, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, because it will affect the whole world. Then shall the end come. Why do we have it? So we'll be reminded. Not only is there a hell. We want to get people saved so they don't go to hell. We want to get people saved so that they don't have any fear of being here during that tribulation period. Starts with you. Starts with me. Knowing what's going to take place and knowing that Israel is set up right now, the whole world is set up for this to take place. It would be, Satan would have to truly put blinders on anyone's face not to see how the prophecies are being prepared to be fulfilled when it comes to the end times, when it comes to the rapture, and when it comes to the tribulation period. We see it. And yet Satan blinds us to not want to do anything about it. We need to be ready. How do you get ready? Get saved. How do you make sure your family's ready? Lead them to the Lord. Amen. How do you prepare a coworker? How do you prepare people around the world? Preach the gospel. Amen. Present what it takes for a person to be saved. You can't save them. But you know what? If we understand what's going to take place, we might have a little bit more of a fire lit underneath us to get this done. And the only thing that's keeping the rapture of the church from taking place today is for someone else to get saved. For the gospel to be preached around the world. Who knows who's going to be that last soul to be saved, and who knows where that's going to be. But we do know that there is a point in time, and we're getting closer to it than ever before, when the rapture will take place and the tribulation will be ushered in through the rapture of the church. The book of Revelation is the Word of God. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Doom and gloom. The only thing we rejoice over is praising God. We have still time, although limited, but we still have time to make a difference. You still have time tonight to get saved. You still have time to witness to your family, to be a witness to all that you can, to do your part in the Great Commission, sending the gospel around the world, to see souls saved, the New Testament churches being established, to help people, to avoid not only death and hell, but to avoid the great tribulation. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray that as we studied this, that you would have helped us to break it down and help us tonight to understand how we need to use this to motivate us to be more Christ-like, to motivate us to tell others about you, to help lead others to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I pray that you might continue to work in and through this church, that we might be a light to this dark world. I pray that you'd help each one of us as individuals to realize our position in Christ as being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Work now in our invitation time. Help those that might need to make a decision tonight to make it before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.